WITY present Cut Down the Nets with Coach John Spezia. Tales of what has been and what will be the glory days of Ileana Sports. A new podcast presented by Coach John Spezia.
Hi, sports fans. This is Coach Spezia again with a Cut Down the Nets. And I have a very special guest, a good friend of mine, longtime friend, and legendary former voice of the Fighting Illini football and basketball, Jim Shepherd. How's everything going today, Shep?
Everything is good, John.
I tell you what, we're going to go back in a little bit of history with Shep. Not many people know, Shep was a decent athlete at Fisher High School, which is about 25, 30 miles north of Champaign-Urbana. And Shep, you played high school sports at Fisher. Give us an update of which sports you played.
Well, I was on the football team. My senior year, we had a good team. We were 7-2. And, of course, back in that time, there were no playoffs. But had there been state playoffs, we would have been in them. We were 7-2, had a good team. Also participated in basketball and ran track. And Fisher had some pretty good athletes. Good team, just like any small high school in the area. You have your years where things go well and other years where wins are few and far between. But I had a great time at Fisher High School. I had a lot of good friends I still keep in touch with, and it was a great experience.
Well, what position did you play in football at Fisher?
I was the center. Didn't weigh very much, only weighed about 150 pounds, and we played against some pretty good competition. One of the teams that we got beat by was Octavia, and they had an athlete by the name of Dennis Pope, P-O-P-P-E, who later went on and played at Missouri.
Wow.
And he was their middle linebacker on defense, so he rang my bell a couple of times, but they had a very good team, and Octavia was one of our two losses that year. The other team to beat us, I believe, was Leroy.
Okay, now you played also Muhammad, didn't you?
I don't think so. Many years ago, Fisher and Muhammad had a very good rivalry. That year, though, I don't think we played Muhammad. That was 1966, was my senior year, and I don't believe Fisher played Muhammad that year.
Okay.
I can tell you a story, though, back, John, in 1964, when I was a sophomore. Muhammad at one time had the state's longest winning streak. They had won 38 straight games. And Fisher, they had a great quarterback by the name of Phil Nell.
Phil Nell played at Illinois.
Went on to play at Illinois. And Phil was a senior, and they had the state's longest winning streak. And Fisher opened up the season against Muhammad at Muhammad. The story I remember of that is the Fisher coach, the late Pete Hatfield, he went out that week of the game and he went to the local drugstore and he bought some powder puff and he wrote letters to the Fisher players and he signed them the Muhammad Day. So the Fisher players, they got these letters, thought they were from the Muhammad players, and they said things like, well, you guys should be the show on Friday, you have no chance of winning, and et cetera. Well, Fisher upset Muhammad that night. They beat the Bulldogs, and it made state headlines because Fisher snapped the 38th straight game that Muhammad had won. So it was a moment I'll never forget, and Pete Hatfield pulled a surprise, and it worked on his own team, and they believed the letters they got were from the Muhammad players, but they really were from the coach.
What a great story that was. All right, well, here's one. Now that we're talking about Fisher, this is a historic one. The name of Fisher is called the Bunnies. Could you tell the people out there how did Fisher get the name of the Bunnies?
Back in about 1932-33, Fisher Community High School, who had been around a long time, did not have a nickname. They were just called Fisher Community High School. In the 1933-34 season, Fisher played in a holiday tournament in Paxton. Well, they won their first game, and a couple of the Fisher players, I think their names were Ward Manili and Lyle Hagel, had just put on rabbit feet on their uniforms to help the team. Good luck. Well, Fisher won the first game. In game number two, couple of other additional Fisher players, they also wore rabbit's feet. Fisher now moves to the third game of the tournament, the championship game, and every member of the Fisher team was wearing a rabbit's feet for good luck. Fisher won the championship. And so Eddie Jacklin, the sports writer, in his article referred to the Fisher Bunny Boys. Well, the people in Fisher liked the name the Bunny Boys. They didn't like the Bunny Boys well enough to make it their mascot, so they called them the Bunnies. And that's how Fisher became the Fisher Bunny. My dad, who passed away, was on the team as a senior, and I also had an uncle by the name of Jim Whitaker was on that team. So I have some close connection to that team that was named the Fisher Bunnies.
What a great story, Shep. I mean, I'm not sure how many people, and I'm sure people out there always ask, how did the Fisher get the name of the Bunnies? I mean, that's always been, you know, it's kind of like the Hoops and Corn Jerkers or the Tia Topless Wooden Shoes, the Freeport Pretzels or the Frankfurt Hot Dogs. I mean, how did Fisher get the name of the Bunnies? And you've now told the story. And now this is archived now. That's how Fisher got his name, the Bunnies. Well, Shep, now you get done with high school. What does Jim Shepherd do next? I mean, you love athletics. You're in a small community. What does Jim Shepherd do next?
Well, after I graduated from high school, I attended a broadcasting school in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and it was just a summer course. I was fortunate enough to go to this school. After that, I got a job at WDWS in Champaign. I was on the air, and about a year after I started as an on-air announcer, I had a chance to start doing play-by-play. My boss was a guy by the name of Larry Stewart, who for many years was the voice of the Illini.
What year was this, Shepherd, you did start doing play-by-play?
I started doing play-by-play in 1967 or 68, and that I did my first game. I'll never forget. I worked a night shift at WDWS, and I went into work one night, and Larry said, you're going to do a high school game this Friday. Champaign Central was going to play at Weaver, Illinois. And so I was thrown into the fire. I went up to Streeter and Champaign Central with the great Tommy Stewart as the coach, played at Streeter. And that was my first game ever. I also started doing high school basketball, and that's how I got started. That was about 1967-68.
So you're talking about guys, the legendary coaches. You had him, and then, of course, Leo Cabuti at Champaign.
Well, Lee Cabuti became a dear friend, and still to this day, Lee is still with us. And, I did Champaign Circle games, Urbana games with Oscar Hicks. I remember the first, I think, coach at Champaign Centennial, who had just started. Centennial became a high school, I believe, in 1966 or 67. And I believe their first coach was a guy by the name of Bob Avery. Bob Avery is in the IBCA Hall of Fame as a coach. So I got to do some games, early games, of good coaches, Hall of Fame coaches, saw a lot of great players. At one time, I had done the games of the career scoring leaders of the three local high schools at the time. Clyde Turner at Champaign Central, Kenny Ferdinand at Urbana, one of Lou Henson's first signees. But at one time, a guy by the name of U.S. Davidson was the career scoring leader at Centennial, and I had done his games as well.
Yeah, U.S. Davidson played at North Dakota, played against my nephew Mike.
That's exactly correct.
He was an unbelievable athlete. Very good. And thank you. I think he was a principal at one time in the Champaign school system at one time. I remember visiting with U.S.
Of course, a lot of these records have been broken. That's been many years ago. But at one time, I had done the games of the three career scoring leaders of the local schools.
Shep, I think back in 1968, there was a game at Harry Combs Gym in the sectional championship against Bismarck Henning and the Danville Schlarman Hilltoppers. And I think that we talked about this. I think you did the game, and guess who was playing in that game?
You were playing in the game. I apologize, but I don't remember. I remember doing the regional games at it's now called Combs Gym. Lee Cabuti Court, but at the time was not named that. But I do remember doing regional games. So I wish we had paid for that game.
Well, let's go on now. So now you're done play-by-play. They're in Champaign. What happens next? Where do you go to next?
After I did games at DWS, I worked in radio in Danville, trying to remember the year. And the Illinois Sports Information Director was a guy by the name of Tab Bennett. And Tab called me one time and he said, would you be interested in doing the Illinois PA game, basketball and football? And I said, well, sure, I'd be honored to do that. And that was my first year doing, I started off in football, and that was, let me think here, my first year was 1985 doing Illinois football.
Who was the coach at Illinois first, then?
Mike White.
There you go.
Mike White. And my first game was a home game at Memorial Stadium. Illinois played Southern Cal, and that game was billed as a preview to the Rose Bowl because Illinois had a great team. They had Jack Trudeau. They had Thomas Rook, the running back. They had David Williams, and Southern Cal had a great team. And the first game was at the stadium. Southern Cal beat Illinois. I think it was 20-7. And the Illinois touchdown was scored by an end by the name of Cap Boso. I later think he played some pro ball.
You're right.
But Cap Boso scored the touchdown, the only touchdown for Illinois in the 1985 game. Now, that team went on and had really kind of a disappointing year. They ended up 5-5-1, and they played Army in the Peach Bowl that year. But that team was expected. They had some great players, but it was one of those years where, you know, some games just didn't turn out. They didn't turn out like they thought they would, and the team ended up 5-5-1.
So you go from football, now you go to basketball.
Yeah, my first basketball game was that year. I'm trying to remember the opponent of my first basketball game at then the Assembly Hall. But I got started, and I had 23 years of football and 22 years of basketball. I was fortunate enough to do the two Final Four teams in basketball, had a couple of Big Ten championship teams in football, and a lot of highs and a lot of lows, but it was just a tremendous experience.
Well, I'm going to cap on a couple of those experiences. One, there was a guy with a red sweater down at Indiana. And tell the fans and the folks that you were doing the game, and all of a sudden, the guy in the big red sweater, Bob Knight, comes up to the bench and is going to talk to you. Tell that story.
Well, Illinois played Indiana at the Assembly Hall. During the week before the game, a very famous coach, and I have drawn a blank on his name right now. This coach, who was a dear friend of Bob Knight, he had passed away the week before. So right before the game, I had done the starting lineups, and right before the tip-off, I look up, and here comes Bob Knight walking towards the bench looking right at me. And my first thought was I had mispronounced an Indiana player's name. I didn't know why he was coming towards me. This was right before tip-off. And he walks up to me, and Bob's about 6'4". He's a pretty big guy. Of course, I'm sitting down at the bench, and Bob walks up right before the tip-off and extends his hand and says to me very sincerely, thanks for the tribute to the coach. We had a tribute to the coach before the game, and I said, you're very welcome. And he turns around and goes back to the Indiana bench. Well, this, of course, was on TV, and at the time, I was working in radio in Indianapolis, and I had a lot of buddies that was watching the game. So the next morning at work, they said, what happened? Coach Knight came down and shook your hand and said something to you. And I told him the story. And I'm embarrassed I can't remember the coach's name.
Well, I coached at Oklahoma State. He coached in the Olympics.
I know.
And his son coached I believe, at Nebraska. So, Shep.
I want to say Allen, but not Poke Allen.
But it's in that era somewhere, yeah.
help me out. Do you know the coach's name?
I don't. I can tell you all the places he coached at. And he coached the Olympics in 1968 when the Russians stole the game from him. So, I know exactly who you're talking about.
I've drawn a guy. That's something. Shows my age. I'm getting old. But
But this coach, I want to say Poe Gallen, but that's not it.
No, it wasn't Paul Gallen, I can tell you that. And it wasn't Spoonauer, and it wasn't Lemons. No, it wasn't any of those guys. But we're getting around it. Somebody will pick that one up.
But that's the crux of the story.
Yeah. Here's another one. Here you get a chance to go do the first game for the Fighting Illini to play in the new center up in Chicago.
United Center.
Here you got national TV. It's the Duke Blue Devils and the Fighting Illini. Mike Krzyzewski, the Hall of Fame coach, and Lou Henson. Tell the story about this one.
Well, Illinois played Duke in the very first college game in the United Center. And at the time, the United Center's, it's maybe only a year or two old. So we go up Friday night, spend the night in Chicago, and then we go to the arena. And as I walk into the arena, Billy Packer and Jim Nance, the A-team from CBS Sports, they were outside the arena taping the opening. And so we go into the arena, and I'm getting all my stuff ready. And a person comes over to me and says, "Are you Jim Shepherd, PA announcer?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, here's the script that we want you to read at the beginning of the game." And this was a live telecast. And so we're at game time. They dim the light, and I started reading my opening that was on the script that CBS had given me. And it went something to the effect, "Good afternoon, basketball fans, and welcome to the United Center for the very first college basketball game between the University of Illinois Fighting Illini and the Blue Dew Devils." Well, I didn't get Duke out correctly, and I said Blue Dew Devils, and I can't describe internally how I felt. I just died 1,000 deaths, and I tried to correct Blue to Duke, and I went to Snook and Kluke, and it was just a mess. And this is all live national TV. Well, the people in the arena really couldn't hear it because it was so noisy. But anybody watching the game on national TV, coast to coast, heard my blunder. I finally got my composure, and I got out Duke Blue Devils. Well, ironically, I never did hear it, but I got a lot of razzing about it. And years ago, a friend of my wife's had taped the game, and this lady found this tape at her house and gave it to my wife and said, "Maybe Jim would want to hear this." So late one night at home, I got enough courage, and I put the tape into the VCR and heard my blunder, but it was pretty bad. And again, people still remember that. But that was 1994. Illinois played Duke in the very first college basketball game ever played in the United Center.
Well, and Shep, that's a great credit to have, even for them to ask you to do that. It's even a greater honor. I know I tease you about it all the time, and you did get Mike Krzyzewski out. I remember that. So,
and I'll tell you, there was another name on that team. I can't remember it, but this name belonged to a little guard, Wojciechowski.
And he was a coach at Marquette for a while.
He was a starter for Duke. And he later became a coach somewhere. I may be at Duke.
Yeah, he was at Marquette, and he was assistant.
He was at
Duke.
Marquette.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, he was assistant.
Well, I got that name out fine, and I got Krzyzewski out fine. But the Duke Blue Devils gave me trouble that day.
Well, Shep, we now know the name of the coach. That's Hank Iba, the legendary coach.
Henry Iba.
Yeah, Henry
Thank
Iba.
Thank you. And Henry passed away a few days before Illinois played Indiana at the Assembly Hall, and that's when Coach Knight came. And he and Iba were very dear friends.
Yeah.
And Bob thought it was a nice gesture that I read that. Of course, I was given that information by the university.
Okay, Shep, so now you've done all that. You've done the play, then you did announcing, and you're working over in Indianapolis. Of all the things you did in football and basketball, name one thing in each sport that just sticks out in your mind that would be the fans would really love to hear about. To just a moment that you called the game in football and basketball, each one, then we're going to move on to the next phase of your life.
Okay, well, you know, people ask me, what game do you remember the most? There's two or three football games, but I think one game that always sticks out and I don't know why, but it was my first year, 1985, Illinois played Ohio State at the stadium. And back in those days, victories against Michigan and Ohio State in football were few and far between. But in 85, and with Illinois having that really good team, we were tied with Ohio State 28-28 with about 30-plus seconds to go. And Mike White, his stepson, Chris White, was the place kicker. And he went in for a field goal at the south end zone. It was roughly about a 30-yard field goal. And again, if he made it, Illinois probably would have won the game, and we would have upset Ohio State. So Chris comes out on the field, teams line up, and I'm trying to think of the coach of Ohio State in 85. It might have been Woody. I'm not sure. But anyway, the Ohio State coach freezes Chris. He calls the timeout. So they take the timeout. The teams come back out on the field. Chris White kicks the ball, and it goes through the south upright, and Illinois hangs on to beat Ohio State 31-28. And again, the meaning of that win was just tremendous. And I remember our booth, there were five people in our PA booth. We just went crazy. And everybody was, crowd was going crazy. The other booths in the press box were going crazy. It was a great way to end the big victory over Ohio State. Now, that same year, we played Michigan at the stadium. And with almost the identical situation, with less than a minute to go, Illinois had a chance to beat Michigan. We had the ball at the south goalpost. Chris White was the kicker. He kicks the ball, and the ball hits the right upright. It just barely missed going in. But had he kicked that in, we would have beat Michigan and Ohio State with Chris White field goals in the same season. So those two games really stick out.
Okay, what about basketball?
Well, I remember when LSU and Shaquille O'Neal played here, and we beat them. Shaquille O'Neal was the sophomore, and all the great players, well, not only Illinois teams, but opposing team, you know, the Fab Five from Michigan, Sean Elliott from Arizona, Scott Skiles. I mean, there's endless basketball players. But I think one game that kind of sticks out in basketball is when we beat Wake Forest. They were number one in the country, and we beat them. So that sticks out.
Yeah, and but I think one of the players on that team was a guy named Chris Paul, who plays plays with
exactly.
The Arizona.
Chris Paul.
Or Phoenix Suns, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's been a lot of great players come through there. It's hard to remember them all. It's so many games. I think I did close to 400 games. I tell you, the one thing I miss the most right now is the camaraderie I had with all the media people, guys that became lifelong friends. I don't see them anymore. I keep in touch with a lot of them. Going to the game, the games are fun, but the games tend to run together because you do so many of them. But just the atmosphere and the camaraderie with the media, I still miss to this day.
You leave Illinois, and I know you did some more radio stuff, but now you're involved with the Illinois Basketball Hall of Fame. And obviously you've been inducted in the Illinois Basketball Hall of Fame and on the museum. Tell the fans just a little bit about that venture and some of the stuff you're tied in with the IBCA and then our local, the Illiana Sports Hall of Fame. If you could address those two, and we're going to wrap this up, but those two are pretty close to your heart because you spent a lot of time with it.
I'm going to credit you, John. Our friendship began years ago at the NCAA or the Junior College Hall of Fame.
Right, because you did the championship game.
Yeah, I did the championship game for many years, and then the announcement was made they're going to start a Hall of Fame for the IBCA, and I got involved. We had that first press conference in Danville announcing that it was going to be in Danville because of some issues. We couldn't get the thing off the ground in Danville, but I've been involved with it from day one. I thoroughly enjoy it because I think the project itself is something Illinois needs. Of all the contiguous states around Illinois, they all have a Hall of Fame for basketball, but Illinois doesn't. And if people knew the history of college and high school basketball in the state of Illinois, Illinois deserves to have one, and we're working on one.
Right. It's the museum. People know it's the Illinois Basketball Hall of Fame Museum. So we have a Hall of Fame. We just have the museum. We're trying to put articles and memorabilia. In fact, I think for the fans out there, we're looking at a virtual one. It'll be coming up, I hope, here before too long. And I think the biggest thing I want to tell the fans out there, you are a great trivia buff, and you also have spent a ton of time putting that information of who's in the basketball museum, along with obviously Mark Kleeman and Bruce Fairchild, of categorizing where these people are at, what year, because you just love doing that. And the trivia stuff, if you want somebody to go talk about trivia, Shepard is unbelievable with trivia with all time.
So you're pretty good yourself.
Well, not as good as you are, Shep.
We trade off a lot, and you're pretty good too.
Then the Illiana Sports Hall of Fame, yourself and Joe Dunnigan, you did a ton of work with that, along with Joe and myself, of the going back to 1900, going all through ones from Vermillion County in Western Indiana, times you spent, and we had that first class.
And hopefully we're going to have our
banquet coming up here, and hopefully here in end of June, 1st of July. So, Shep, you're a great historian, a great friend. Any other comments before we close off?
Well, John, one thing I've learned about you, and I think anybody listening will agree with me, you are dedicated to helping youth, kids getting scholarship, kids in general, and you've really dedicated your life towards that, and I think it's noteworthy, and I'm proud to be a friend of yours. Also, just appreciate all the opportunity to be on the show with you, but just an opportunity to meet a lot of great people through you and be involved together with you in our virtual project with the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association. And we're doing things we like to do, and hopefully we're doing some good and helping some people, and that's what it's all about. So, again, thank you for having me on the show.
Well, Shep, I know you've gone through some tough times here in the last 6 months or so, and your spirits upgrade. I hope this helps. And for those fans out there, you get a chance to listen to podcasts and want to drop a note to Shep or I, we'd appreciate it, because this guy is a true and true Illinois fan and basketball or sports fan of Illinois basketball, college or high school. Unbelievable. Again, thank you, Shep. And
thanks, John.
This has been Cut Down the Nets with Coach John Spezia. For future episodes of this and other podcasts, bookmark WITYradio.com and click on the Sports tab.